ಆರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರು ಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಸದ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ. ಪೂರ್ಣಮದಃಪೂರ್ಣಮಿದಂ ಪೂರ್ಣಾತ್ಪೂರ್ಣಮುದಚ್ಯತೆ ಪೂರ್ಣಸ್ಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮಾದಾಯ ಪೂರ್ಣಮೇವಾವಶಿಷ್ಯತೆ. ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿಃಶಾಂತಿಃಶಾಂತಿಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುಭ್ಯೋ ನಮಃ. ಹರಿಃ ಓಂ. ಬೃಹದಾರಣ್ಯಕ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 3 ಮುನಿಕಾಂಡ ಕಹೋಲ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ಮಂತ್ರ 3.5.1. ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ವೈಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿ 5th ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಂ ಆಫ್ ಬೃಹದಾರಣ್ಯಕ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಸಿ ಆನ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಆನ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಬೈ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಮೆಂಟರಿ ಆನ್ ದಿ ವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಏತಂ ವೈ ತಂ ಆತ್ಮಾನಂ ವಿದಿತ್ವಾ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಃ ಪುತ್ರೈಷಣಾಯಶ್ಚ ವಿತ್ತೈಷಣಾಯಶ್ಚ ಲೋಕೈಷಣಾಯಶ್ಚ ವ್ಯುತ್ಥಾಯ ಅಥ ಭಿಕ್ಷಾಚರ್ಯಂ ಚರಂತಿ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಸೆಂಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ವಿಧಿ ವಾಕ್ಯಂ ಎ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಪ್ರಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆಸ್ ಎ ಸಪೋರ್ಟ್ ವಿಚಾರ ಆರ್ ಜ್ಞಾನ. ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಆಸ್ ಮುಖ್ಯ ಕಾರಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆಸ್ ಸಹಕಾರಿ ಕಾರಣಂ ಸಪೋರ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಕಾರಣಂ ಅಂಡ್ ದರ್ಫೋರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಕಂಬೈನ್ಸ್ ದಮ್ ಬೋತ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆಶ್ರಮ ಈಸ್ ಐಡಿಯಲ್ ಆಶ್ರಮ ಫಾರ್ ಸಾಧನ ಚತುಷ್ಟಯ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ವಿಚಾರ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ನೋಟ್ ದಟ್ ಸಾಧನ ಚತುಷ್ಟಯ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ 4 ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ವಿವೇಕ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಶಮಾದಿ ಷಟ್ಕ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷುತ್ವ. ಅಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ 4 ವಿವೇಕ ಅಂಡ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಅಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಐಡಿಯಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ವಿವೇಕ ಅಂಡ್ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯ ಪ್ರಾಪ್ತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಈವನ್ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷುತ್ವ. ಅಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ ಅಲೋನ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಕೋಪ್ ಫಾರ್ ಪರೀಕ್ಷ ಲೋಕಾನ್ ಕರ್ಮಚಿತಾನ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಸಾ. ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಕೋಪ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೆಚ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ಫಾರ್ ಲರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಲಿಮಿಟೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಆರ್ ಅವೈಲಬಲ್ ಇನ್ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ. ದರ್ಫೋರ್ ಒನ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಾಧನ ಚತುಷ್ಟಯ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಗೈನ್ಡ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ. ಬಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅನದರ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಾಧನ ಚತುಷ್ಟಯ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ ನೇಮ್ಲಿ ಶಮಾದಿ ಷಟ್ಕ ಸಂಪತ್ತಿ ವಿಚ್ ಪ್ರೈಮರಿಲಿ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎ ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾವರ್ಟ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಎ ರಿಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಎ ಮೈಂಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಕಾನ್ಸಂಟ್ರೇಷನ್. ಇನ್ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ಕಾನ್ಸಂಟ್ರೇಷನ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಟೇಕನ್ ಆಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಇನ್ ವಿಚ್ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡೂ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್. ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ 3 ಆರ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ. ನಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾವರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ರಿಲ್ಯಾಕ್ಸ್ಡ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟಿ ಟೈಮ್ ಆರ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಶ್ರವಣಂ ಮನನಂ ಅಂಡ್ ನಿಧಿಧ್ಯಾಸನ. ಅಂಡ್ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಆಶ್ರಮ ಈಸ್ ಐಡಿಯಲ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಲ್ ದ 3 ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ ದರ್ ಆರ್ ಆಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಲ್ 3. ದ ಪ್ರೈಮರಿ ಆಬ್ಸ್ಟಕಲ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸಿಬಿಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸಾಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ದೇರ್ ಇನ್ ಗೃಹಸ್ಥಾಶ್ರಮ. ಆಸ್ ಲಾಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ರೆಸ್ಪಾನ್ಸಿಬಿಲಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ದೇರ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಆಂಗ್ಸೈಟಿ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಾವರ್ಟೆಡ್ನೆಸ್. Therefore, Grahastashrama can become an obstacle for relaxation and non-extrovertedness. So the transaction becomes obstructions for quality time. Committed study can be obstructed by transactions. Therefore, I cannot study with total involvement and I have to keep on looking at my watch often. Because next transaction is there, next program is there, always worried about the daily routines. Therefore, transactions are obstacles for quality time. In sannyasa ashrama, no watch is required. The whole day is available to him for study. Therefore, Acharya says, the general rule for sadhana chaturtaya sampatti and especially shramadhi, shatka sampatti and vedanta vichara is, it should go along with sannyasa. But at the same time, as we said, every general rule has got an exception, and that exception also is talked about in the Bhagavad Gita in the form of Janaka's life, etc. We have heard stories of Janaka, how Janaka was, for example, in a class and someone brought him the news that the entire palace was burning. It seems Janaka simply said, Mithilayam Pradeeptayam Name Kinchana Dakyate. Even if the entire Mithila is burnt, nothing happens to me. Therefore, Janaka was as good as a sannyasi mentally. So if a grahastha can also make the same statement, mama grahe pradipte, also in my own house also there are so many valuables, all that, everything goes away, nothing happens to me. If some person can say that, he also comes under the exception rule and not in the general rule. Therefore, in the Gita, we see the exceptional case. In the Upanishad, we see the general case. And therefore, Acharya says, sannyasa vihitam is in this section. Now we will see the inquiry. That is because this is what we started with in the last class, because Acharya makes a small inquiry into the sannyasa bhashya. So the first, the Purvapakshi, he says that yetam vai tam atmanam viditva. This particular statement, the Purvapakshi says, is Arthavada Vakya. Arthavada is a technical word which is opposed to Vidhi, Vidhi Vakya. It is a Mimamsa terminology. We have seen this also before. Vidhi Vakyam is a statement of primary importance whose literal meaning is taken. Vidhi Vakyam is Tatparya Vakya. And Arthavada Vakyam is a statement not of primary importance, only a secondary statement. Therefore, need not be taken literally. And the Purvapakshi asserts that the above vakyam is only secondary and need not be taken seriously. That means, bhiksha charanam charanti or sannyasa ashrama requirement need not be taken seriously. That's what this. So in grahastha ashrama, one cannot take bhiksha. In sannyasa ashrama, bhiksha is compulsory. In grahastha ashrama, one should give bhiksha. Sannyasa ashrama stands for bhiksha. Therefore, bhiksha charanam charanti is equal to sannyasa ashramam prapnuvanti. And Purvapakshi states it is not a serious statement. Sannyasa is not emphasized here. This is Purvapakshi's contention. For the Shankaracharya says, no, it is not true. Because the rule is an Arthavada Vakyam cannot stand by itself, being of secondary importance. And therefore, is always, it goes with a Vidhi Vakyam of primary importance. So Arthavada Vakyam is a weak statement and it depends on a crutch called Vidhi Vakyam. So Vidhi Seshaha Arthavada. That is rule. So Acharya says, not so. He says in the entire Vedanta, the primary Vidhi or commandment is Jnanam. Atma vare drashtavyaha shrotavyaha mantavyaha nididhyasitavyaha. We saw that thing. All statements about jnanam are vidivakyam, tatparya vakyam. And another example is tarati shokam atmavit brahmavit apunoti param. All over Vedanta, the primary statement deals with jnanam only. Therefore, all statements that talk about jnanam should be taken as vidivakyam only and not as arthavada vakyam. Viditva means jnatva, jnanam sampadya. So this statement talks about jnanam, and jnanam is of primary importance, and therefore it should be vidivakyam and not arthavada vakyam. That is the argument of Shankaracharya. And for that, the Purvapakshi says, okay, I accept that there is a Vidhi Vakyam in Jnanam because that is of primary importance. Atma va are drashtavyaha. Therefore, in all such cases, since Jnanam is important in Vedanta, let there be Vidhi in Jnanam. So, Jnane Vidhihi Astu. He agrees. But he says that there may be Vidhi or stress on Jnanam, but there is no Vidhi in Sannyasa Ashrama. Therefore, sannyasa portion is arthavada and jnanam portion is vidhi. He doesn't want to leave that easily. So Purvapakshi argues that way. Jnane vidhi astu, sannyase vidhihi nasti. So Acharya answers giving a Mimamsa rule. In one statement itself, we cannot have one part as vidhi and another part as arthavada. All the parts are dealing with the same person, for which Acharya gives an example. From Mimamsa Shastra itself, because he is Purvapakshi, he is Purva Mimamsaka. In Mimamsa, there is a Vedic statement that is analyzed, which is Abhi Shutya Kutva Bhakshayanti. There is a statement like that. These are all referring to yagas, various yagas. Here, Soma Yaga is talked about. So, Abhi Shutya means Somam Sangrihya. Having extracted Soma juice, Kutva. Homam Kritva, having offered oblation, Bhakshayanti, one takes that Soma juice, whatever is remaining as Yajna Sesha. After doing the homa, abhishutya means what here? The extraction of the soma rasa from soma kripa. Abhishutya, having extracted. Then second state word is kutva. Homam kritva, having done the homam, having offered the oblation. So having extracted the soma rasa from the soma creeper and having offered the soma juice as oblation, then what you should do? Bhakshayanti. Remaining soma rasa is taken as prasadam. So a statement in Veda about soma yaga, this is the statement. So Acharya quotes this to Mimamsaka, because he is Karmakandi. So there Mimamsaka analyzes, Mimamsam, and he says that there is vidhi in bhakshanam. A commandment, bhakshayanti, one should take the soma juice after homa. Correct. And then they ask the question, is there a vidhi in the extraction of the juice and in the offering of oblations? Okay, I agree. There is a vidhi, a commandment in taking the soma rasam as prasada. But is there a vidhi in the extraction of the juice or oblation of the juice? Because abhishutya means having extracted. Kutva, having offered. And these two things, one should drink. So vidhi means commandment. In English, we use the word should. Where there is should, it means a commandment. Here, what is the statement? Having extracted, having offered, one should drink. The word should has come only with drinking the soma rasa. So having extracted, there is no word should. Having offered, there is no word should. Now the question is whether there is command in these portions. So what is the conclusion? All the three actions should be done by one and the same person because he is the yajnakarta. Because of a special grammar rule, tva pratyeka shravanate, in English also, having offered, one should eat. For example, if somebody says, having offered, one should eat, the offerer and eater should be the same. Therefore, when one and the same person has to do three actions, and if commandment is only for one action, then the commandment should be extended to all the actions also. So having extracted, having offered, one should drink. When that statement says for the soma yaga, there are many actions here. Extraction is one action. Extraction of the soma rasa from soma creepers is one action. Oblation is another action. And the taking of the soma rasa as prasadam, drinking of the soma rasa as prasadam is another action. So all the three actions are to be done by one and the same person. That is rule number one is tallying now. And the second part is, if there are more than one action to be done by a person, and if there is commandment only in one action, that is, for example, in this case, should drink, bhakshayanti. The rule is, the commandment should be extended to all other actions also, namely extraction and offering in this example. Therefore, vidhi is not only for drinking, vidhi is for extraction and offering. Vidhi means here commandment. It's for action, offering also. Now Acharya says, here also, in one statement, jnanam is mentioned. So this is sannyasa is also mentioned and the same karta. So tva pratyayaham shravanat with the same rule. And therefore, vidhi is not only for jnanam, vidhi must be extended to sannyasa also. Acharya writes in his bhashyam, vidhi samana kartrukatvat. This is a very terse statement. This only this much he writes, but all the explanations go along with that. So if there is a vidhi in jnanam, and that vidhi should be extended to sannyasa ashrama also. Therefore, one should take to sannyasa, and then the Purvapakshi brings another objection now. He says, in Sanskrit, vidhi, there may be some grammar, but I won't be going too much into that. I will only mention. So in Sanskrit, Vidhi means commandment that can be conveyed only by a particular type of usage. For example, imperative mood. For example, he goes, if he says, it is not a commandment, it's a statement. He should go is a commandment because it is imperative mood. So there are certain verbal or word forms to express commandment in any language. They are, for example, in Sanskrit, they are all called lot, vidhiling, tavya, that's that suffix we have already seen. Shrotavya, Mantavya, Nidityasitavya, that Tavya, I explained it at that time. So Tavya, so Kriyaha, Pratyaya, all these things, there are a lot of grammar stuff. So only when those usages are there is commandment as prescribed in Sanskrit grammar. So if it is present tense, it is a statement only and not commandment. This is a rule. Now the Purvapakshi says, Charanti is Vartamana. Vartamana means present tense. Therefore, no Brahmacharyam Charanti. That's what Upanishad says. So Charanti is present tense. Therefore, no commandment is implied. Vartamana Prayogat, Lat Prayogat, Vidhi Nasti Sanyase. In Sanyasa, there is no Vidhi like this. So Purvapaksha is always afraid of Sanyasa. Adi Shankaracharya always emphasizes Sanyasa. So Acharya argues there is a special usage in Vedas, which will look like Vartamana, present tense, but which is a commandment. Such usage in grammar is called Lat Vartamane Late Vede. So that is late Lakaram in Sanskrit. There is a sloka. So, but what is the difficulty? Present tense and late, Lat and late, Lat present tense, late, will look the same. Therefore, Acharya argues Charanti is not Lat Vartamana present tense, but Charanti is late Vidyarthe. He continues, such things are there in Purva Mimamsa also. So you yourself have accepted that, and he gives an example of Purva Mimamsa. He quotes a statement to Purvapakshi. Audambaraha Yupaha Bhavati. Yupaha means post, a post. On post means a pole on which a sacrificial animal is tied. You must know in Vedas, these are animal sacrifice. There are yagas involving animal sacrifice in the Vedas. So we are not going into the discussion of whether that is correct and all that thing, that we are not going to do that. We are only taking it as example here. So the question is, what type of wood should be used for that pole on which the animal is tied? Audumbaraha, a tree called Udumbara, it's a post should be made of that Udumbara tree. Post should be made of that tree. So to give that commandment, Shruti uses Vartamana. So to give that commandment, Veda uses present tense, no vidhi pratyaya. For this, you, the Purvapakshi, he says, it is late lakaram and vidhi, and it is not present tense. So I say, I also say, Charanti is not let Vartamana, but late Veda. So all grammar, Mimamsa arguments are all useless now. This is how Acharya established. We don't have to know all these details. We can just skip it. But for the sake of that Acharya, because he has explained it, I'm just only saying it. And because Swamiji has emphasized this also in his lectures. So Purvapakshi comes from another angle. He says, there is another commandment in Veda. What is that? One should never discard or give up the sacred thread, the Yajnopavitam, or the tuft, the shikha. One who does not read Vedas cannot claim to be a Brahmana, and he will come under Shudra category. We already went through that Janmana Jayade Shudraha. So all that thing already we told. So not, this is not caste we are telling. We are talking about the Brahmanatma. So Veda Sanyasanate Shudraha Tasmate Vedan Na Sanyaset. Vedas, one should not give up. So now Purvapakshi says, Veda itself has said Veda should not be given up. But in the case of a sannyasa, one has to give up the sacred thread. One has to give up the tuft. One has to give up Veda Parayanam also. That is what says in Sannyasa Dharma. No thread, no tuft. And you don't have thread. Because you don't have thread, you cannot do Veda Parayanam. Therefore, Purvapakshi says, Veda should not be given up. Whereas in Sannyasa Ashrama, you say Veda may be given up. Tuft can be given up. Therefore, it will be against the commandment. That is, Sannyasa Ashrama is against Veda Vidhi. That is Veda's commandment. That is his argument. For which Acharya says, I can also quote another statement from the same Veda itself, where the Veda says, Yajnopavidam Vedamscham Sarvam Tat Varjayet Yatihi. So all these things are all given up by the Yati. So Yajnopavitam is given up, Shika is given up, even Vedas are given up, all that things are Sarvam. So there is another statement which says Sannyasi should give up Yajnopavita, Veda Parayanam and all that thing. That is also in the Veda, it is there. Therefore, I have also have a support statement from the Vedas. That is Acharya's argument. If you are quoting Veda for that, I can also quote another statement from the same Veda. And now the Purvapakshi says, okay, we have support for both of us. One statement says, don't leave Vedas. And another Vakyam says, leave Veda and Agni Upavitam and all that. I agree. Both come from Shastra. Then, why do you take one part of Shastra which is supporting you? Why cannot you take the statement which supports me? He doesn't want to give up. Then Acharya argues, when there are seemingly contradicting statements in the Vedas, and we are not able to arrive at through Veda Vakyam, then what is the alternative? We have to take the help of logic or yukti. So reasoning should be taken. I will give, for example, he gives an example to make it clear. In certain places, it is said, Swarga is Nitya or eternal. Swarga, Swargaloka is Nitya, is eternal. And in certain other places, it is said, Swarga is non-eternal. In such a situation, which is correct? We are not able to arrive at a conclusion. It is called Vinigamana Viraha, non-conclusive situation. So one Vakyam says the heaven is eternal, and some other Vakyam says that heaven is non-eternal. How can we solve this issue? Whichever statement has support of the logic will win the cases, in such cases. This is the rule from Mimamsa. We are not making Mimamsa rule. What is the logic? The logic is Swargaha Anitya. Why? Swarga is Anitya, is not eternal. Karma Palatvate Ghatavate. Because it is like Ghatam, like a part. Karma Palatvate it is. Because of Karma Palam. Swarga is Anitya because it is Karma Palam. And another reasoning is Swarga is Anitya. Why? Janyatvate Ghatavate. It is born, it has birth, Swarga is born. Whatever is born is bound to go away. Therefore, heaven is non-eternal, that is correct. Then why should Shruti say it is eternal? Then we say the other statement is to only glorify the heaven. Therefore, Shruti Vakyam Eva Anyatam Ekam Pramana Vakyam Anyate Stuti Vakyam. It is only to glorifying statement. Swarga is great. Just only to tell, it says Swarga is eternal. Similarly, here at one place, sannyasa is preferred, and in another place, sannyasa is not made compulsory, and Acharya says, logic supports me alone. And what is the supporting logic? Jnanam can never go along with karma, because jnanam and karma are contradictory. Jnanam here means Vedantic inquiry. It cannot go along with karma, because they are totally opposed. In what way they are opposed? One who goes after jnanam, he is nishkama karma or viragi. So whereas one who goes after karma is sakamaha and he is interested in karma phalam. One is sakama, another is nishkama. Therefore, the causes are different between these two. Then the nature are also different. One is pravritti, becoming more extrovert and going towards anatma, whereas the other one is nivritti and is withdrawal from anatma. Anyontara atma pranamayaha, anyontara atma manomayaha, all that. So one is outgoing, another is withdrawing. One goes towards atma, another goes towards anatma. Therefore, pravritti rupam karma, nivritti rupam jnanam. So their causes are different, their natures are different. Their palams are different. Their consequences are also different. Karma or dharmartha kama or prayas. In Kathopanishad, we got the word prayas and shreyas. So prayo marga, that leads to anitya palam. Whereas jnanam leads to nitya palam, shreyas. Therefore, karma and jnanam are diagonally opposite. In addition to that, there are so many other points also. When I do karma, I am a karta. When I am in jnanam, I am akarta. How can both be same? Karta and akarta cannot be same. Therefore, jnanam should go not with the performance of karma, but it should go along with the renunciation of karma. Therefore, jnanena saha sannyasaha evam bhavitum arhati, karma bhavitum na arhati. Therefore, I only win, that is Acharya's argument. This is the argument of Acharya, jnana karma viroditvat. Then the Purvapakshi says, okay, I accept sannyasa, but it is said in Shastra that in sannyasa also one should keep yajnopavitam, shika and all that. Now Acharya argues, what you say is true partially, but you should remember that there are broadly two types of sannyasa. Acharya has answers for everything. There are broadly two types of sannyasas. In one type, Tuft, Yajnopavita and all are retained. They are called Tridandi sannyasis. They may keep Yajnopavitam, they can keep the Shikha and all that. They have certain karmas also. There is another type of sannyasa where one gives up Yajnopavitam, Shikha and all that. It is called Paramahamsa sannyasa. And Shastra says, Tridandi sannyasa is meant for Brahmaloka prapti. Only after death he will get Brahmaloka, and from there he should go by Karma Mukti if he wants to get Moksha. If one doesn't want Brahmaloka, for him Tridanda sannyasa is meaningless. He should take to Paramahamsa sannyasa and Vedanta Vichara alone. Therefore, Yajnopavita Sahita Sanyasaha Brahmaloka Praptihi Sadhanam and Yajnopavita Rahita Sanyasaha Atma Jnana Prapti Sadhanam. Iti Vedaha, between these two, the difference. Lastly, there is one more argument also. When Veda talks about sannyasas, there is a commandment for Bhiksha, Bhiksha Acharyam Charanti. So take to Bhiksha. And therefore, Purvapakshi says, Bhiksha itself is a ritualistic action. To beg also is a ritual. And if it is ritual to be performed, Yajnopavitam is required. And hence you wear thread for taking Bhiksha at least. That is his argument. Acharya answers no for that also. It is not a positive commandment for Bhiksha, for taking Bhiksha. Because even without commandment, a person has to eat food. No Vedic commandment is required for eating. When one is hungry, one has to eat food. If Vedic commandment is required, where there is no Veda, no meals can be there. Therefore, there is no positive commandment for Bhiksha. That is Acharya's argument. Therefore, it is not a ritual at all. Then what is the meaning of the statement? You are anyway going to eat, and when you want to eat, don't go on cooking and procuring things and all those things. Then you will spend all the time only on those things than doing Vedanta Vichara. So it is more negative commandment to avoid other methods of getting food. There is no positive commandment at all. Therefore, Bhiksha Vidhi also does not include Yajnopavita. That is Acharya's argument. Because of these reasons, Acharya concludes that this Vakyam Sannyasa Vidhi. With this, the fifth Brahmanam is also over. This is only an incidental inquiry because Acharya made it and Swamiji gave it in his discussion. I included it in our talks also. And the next Brahmanam, we are going to the sixth Brahmanam, is called Gargi Brahmanam. Brahmanam, another imparted Brahmanam. So in the fifth Brahmanam, Yajnavalkya taught Atmanaha Brahma Swarupam, Brahman nature of the self, Atma. He made it clear that this jnana, that is Atma Brahma Aikya Jnanam, alone is Moksha Sadhana. And he further emphasized that sannyasa as a contributory cause or supportive cause to gain Moksha. So with this, Kahola's question has been answered. Then Kahola Rishi, he withdraws and sits back. Uparama, that is the word they normally use at the end of every Brahma. Now we enter into the sixth Brahmanam. Here the challenger is Gargi. Gargi is a lady known as Brahmavadini Gargi, who talks of Brahman and committed to the knowledge of Brahman. She is very famous in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. First we saw another famous lady earlier called Maitreyi in Maitreyi Brahmanam. Many people get confused between Gargi and Maitreyi. Gargi is not the wife of Yajnavalkya. Maitreyi is wife of Yajnavalkya. There was another wife for Yajnavalkya. Her name is Katyayani. But Gargi is a great lady known as Brahmavadini Gargi. She comes and raises questions to Yajnavalkya now. Therefore, this Brahmanam is called Gargi Brahmanam. What is the content of this Brahmanam? Here, Sarvantaratvam of Brahman is questioned. The word Sarvantaraha was introduced in this two previous Brahmanams. Yes, Sakshat Aparokshat Brahma, ya Atma Sarvantaraha. We went through that entire discussion. So all that why Sakshat was used, all that discussion we went through. So this important statement occurred in the fifth and the fourth Brahmanam. There the word sarvantaraha was used and the word is taken up here for discussion. The word is very important word, and therefore three brahmanams, the sixth brahmanam, seventh and eighth brahmanam, this topic is discussed. That is sarvantaraha. What is the meaning of the word antaraha? Antaraha literally means whatever is inside. From that only antaratma, antaryami, all those words came. But word antaraha has a special significance in Vedanta that we should understand. Suppose there is a pot, and within the pot there is some water. We say water is inside the pot, and we use the word antaraha here. When I say water is inside the pot, I know that water exists independent of pot. Pot exists independent of water. Both pot and water are independently existent. But what is the present condition? Of these two independent things, namely water and pot, one exists within the other. Water exists within the pot. So the independently existent water is there with independently existent pot. How do you prove that they are independent? You can empty the water, still pot is there. And you take the water away from the pot, still water is there, you can put it in some other place. So water can exist without pot, and pot can exist without pot. This is one type of antaraha, which we generally know. Example to remember is what? Water inside the pot. And water is antaraha. But in Vedanta, the word antaraha is used in a totally different sense. It means the inner essence of a thing. The inner essence of the pot is what? Is clay. It's not water. Inner essence of the pot is clay. Wood is the inner essence of furniture. Water is the inner essence of the waves in the ocean. Gold is the inner essence of all the ornaments. And the panchabhutas are the inner essence of shariram and prapancha. Thus the word antaraha in Vedanta means inner essence. And what do we mean by inner essence? It means when I say clay is the inner essence of the pot, antaraha, it means without clay, pot cannot exist. When I say clay is antaraha, antastatvam, or antaratma, then it means without clay, the pot cannot exist. Here, antaratattvam becomes satyam, that is independently existent, whereas the other one becomes mithya. Pot becomes mithya, clay becomes satyam. And when you analyze further, we also come to know that the antaraha tattvam is karanam, and the other one is karyam. And again we come to know that antaraha tattvam is aparichinnam, limitless, whereas the other one is parichinnam. And again we come to know that the antara tattvam is sukshmam, is subtler, whereas the bahyam, the other one, is stulam. So these three has to be remembered. Karyam, stulam, and parichinnam. Karyam means effect, stulam means gross, parichinnam means limited. And opposite to this are what? Karanam, sukshmam, and aparichinnam. And the karana, sukshma, aparichinnam is called antaram, the inner essence. And the karya, stula, parichinnam is called bahyam, the outer or external. And always the rule is, karana, sukshma, aparichinna vastu is inner essence of karya, stula, parichinna vastu. This is how Acharya begins his commentary. Karya stula parichinna vastu karanena sukshmena aparichinnena vastuna vyattam. That is how he starts his commentary. So karyam is pervaded by karanam, stulam is pervaded by sukshmam, parichinnam is pervaded by aparichinnam. And what pervades is antaram, and what is pervaded is bahyam. So these are all the differences. And antaram vastu is the inner essence, and the bahyam vastu is the outer shell. And even though we are counting them as two, really speaking, they are not two, because one cannot exist without the other. That means karyam, effect, cannot exist without karanam, the cause. Stulam, the gross, without sukshmam. Parichinnam, the limited, without aparichinnam. So bahyam cannot exist without antaram. And therefore, to find out the ultimate inner essence, what should we do? We take any karyam in creation and find out its karanam first. So that karanam will be antara tattvam, the inner essence. Now we ask the question, that karanam itself, is it a karyam or is it not? Cause itself is a product or not? If it is a product, if that karanam is a product, then we will find out its cause, which will become still antaraha. And then we should ask the question whether that is also a product. And if it is a product, we will find out its cause. Then go on tracing the ultimate cause until we reach what is known as the moola karanam, atyantika sukshmam. Atyantara aparichinna vastu. And once we arrive at the moola karanam, that will be sarvantaraha. So to explain what is sarvantaraha, we went through all these various arguments. Gold cannot be said to be sarvantaraha. Gold is ornament, antaraha. Wood is only furniture, antaraha. Water is only wave, antaraha. But what do we want to find out? Sarvantaraha. Therefore, Gargi begins to ask the question, what is the inner essence which pervades, say, for example, X? Give some example we are giving. And Yajnavalkya says, why? If she says for X, he gives the answer why. So what is the inner essence that pervades why? Now she goes on asking, what is the inner essence and what is the inner essence? And Yajnavalkya also goes on giving answers like the scientist trying to find out fundamental matter. They said the whole world is matter. And they reduced it to elements. And they reduced to molecules. And they reduced into atoms. All those things and subatoms. And then so on and so on till the research is going on. The problem that we find is, when you go on analyzing with the help of logic alone, you are able to go only up to a certain limit. When we analyze the sarvantaraha, the analysis goes on up to a limit only, after which we are not able to go any further. The intellect fails and the logic fails, because we can go up to the minutest form of matter. And we can come almost up to the energy. For example, matter in minute form is energy. But the thing is, after some time, the inner essence of matter, we have to understand as the conscious principle. Because the ultimate essence is not matter. The ultimate essence, the sarvantaraha, is not matter, but it is chetana tattvam. Now this shift from matter to consciousness, logic can never do. And therefore, for this purpose, what do we need? We require agama or shabda pramana. Shabda pramana means Veda pramana. So through shabda or Veda alone, we can shift from matter to consciousness. That is what the scientists are coming to today. When we study matter in a very, very subtle plane, they say that the matter itself is influenced by the observer. That means the observer seems to have some say in the matter principle. And therefore, beyond that, they are not able to go at all. Some of them even have the hypothesis that perhaps consciousness is the essence. Some people like Planck and Eddington, some of the scientists, they say perhaps consciousness is the inner essence. But the problem is what? They say, they can say, perhaps. If hypothesis should become a theory, then they have to logically, experimentally prove. But unfortunately, consciousness is not available for experimentation and logic. Naisha tarkena matirapaneya. We saw it in Kathopanishad. Therefore, in this interesting Brahmanam, we get a series and the subtlest matter that Gargi comes to, or Yajnavalkya comes to be Brahma Loka. They don't use the word energy, atom and all those things. They use so many lokas and all that. They use the words Indra Loka and subtlest, and subtlest she goes on, finally goes to Brahmaloka Paryantam she goes. So Brahmaloka matter. Then from Brahmaloka, she has to go to the inner essence. That is how she is developing the questions and the answers. That is called Hiranyagarbha Tattvam, which is the inner intelligence principle behind the whole creation. Hiranyagarbha Tattvam is the consciousness principle, which is the inner essence of the whole creation, whole universe. And that is why Hiranyagarbha is called the Sutra. Another word for Hiranyagarbha is Sutra. We are going to see it more. Sutra means a thread. Hiranyagarbha is called a thread. For example, for comparison, suppose there is a mala, garland, made up of various beads. In and through all the beads, which are closely threaded, there is a strong thread going in and through all of them. And because of the thread alone, the whole mala is there. Even though the thread is in and through all of them, even though thread sustains all of them, the thread is invisible. Similarly, there is a material universe. We can come up to subtlest matter, the Hiranyagarbha Shariram. From there, we can never go to Hiranyagarbha, the intelligence principle, because it is not available. Yagya uses a special word for that. He says, anatihi prashnya. Anatihi prashnya. A question which cannot be answered, which cannot be asked in the field of pratyaksham and anumanam. Up to this, the Gargi Brahmanam goes. And in the next Brahmanam, we will enter into the intelligence principle called Hiranyagarbha. So here in this Brahmanam, we will analyze matter, and from matter to consciousness principle, Hiranyagarbha, and from Hiranyagarbha to Ishvara or Antaryami, and from Ishvara to Nirgunam Brahma ultimately. This is going to be our journey. So from Loka matter to Sutram, to Antaryami, to Aksharam Brahma. The travel continues as Loka. Loka is matter or universe. Sutra means the consciousness principle. So from Sutra to Antaryami, and Antaryami to Aksharam. Aksharam is Nirgunam Brahma. So sixth Brahmanam deals with Lokas, the matter. The seventh Brahmanam is going to deal with Sutram, the Antaryami. And the eighth Brahmanam deals with the Aksharam Brahma. So our conclusion is what? This Nirgunam Brahman alone is the inner essence of Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, and the entire material universe. And if the scientists analyze, they can come up to subtlest matter. And beyond that, they will reach dead end. Then they have to come to Vedanta. Gargi refuses to come. So Yagyavalkya, he gets angry and wants that Gargi's head will break. That is how this Brahmanam is going to end. Let us read Mantra 3.6.1. Atahainam Gargi Vachaknavipa Pracham Yajnavalketi Ho Vacham Yedidam Sarvam Apsu Votancha Protancham Kasminu Kalu Apaham Potascha Protascheti Vayav Gargiti Kasminu Kalu Vayuretascha Protascheti Antarikshalokeshu Gargiti Askasminnu khalum antariksha loka otascha protascheti kasminnu khalum gandharva loka otascha protascheti aditya lokeshu gargiti kasminnu khalum aditya loka otascha protascheti chandra lokeshu gargiti kasminnu khalum chandra loka otascha protascheti Nakshatralokeshu Gargiti Kasminnu Kalum Nakshatraloka Votascha Protascheti Devalokeshu Gargiti Kasminnu Kalum Devaloka Votascha Protascheti ఇంద్రలోకేషు గార్గీతిం కస్మిన్ను ఖలు ఇంద్రలోకావోతాశ్చ ప్రోతాశ్చేతి ప్రజాపతిలోకేషు గార్గీతిం కస్మిన్ను ఖలు ప్రజాపతిలోకావోతాశ్చ ప్రోతాశ్చేతి బ్రహ్మలోకేషు గార్గీతిం కస్మిన్ను ఖలు బ్రహ్మలోకా ఓతాశ్చ ప్రోతాశ్చేతి సహోవాచ గార్గీ మాతి ప్రాక్షీ మాతే మూర్ధా పప్తత్ అనతి ప్రశ్న్యాం వై దేవతాం అతిపృచ్ఛసి గార్గీ మాతి ప్రాక్షీరితి తతోహ గార్గీ పాచక్నవీ ఉపర రామ ఇతి షష్టం బ్రాహ్మణం. You might have already seen many words are repeating. Ataha, ataha means kahola prashna uttaradhana anantaram, after answering kahola. Gargi vachaknavi papracha. Gargi having another name also called vachaknavi. She asked the question, yenam yagyavalkyam papracha. She says to yagyavalkya, she gives an example first in which one thing is the inner essence of another. He gives an example. Yajnavalkya, sarvam apsu votancha protancha. Here two words are used which are very often used in Vedanta. We have seen this earlier also, which has got great significance. And namely, sarvam votancha protancha. Votam and protam, these two words. In English, it means the warp and the woof of everything. If you have a dress, for example, the dress is made up of threads, and some threads are along and some threads are across. So these two types of threads with which the cloth is woven, they are called vota and prota. So this warp and woof indicate the inner essence, the karanam, the antaram, the sukshmam, the aparichinnam of the cloth. Because vota prota alone are the inner essence without which the cloth cannot exist. Therefore, repeatedly Gargi asks, what is that which the world is woven? What is the warp and woof of the world? In other words, what is the karanam of this world? What is the antara tattvam, sukshma tattvam, or the aparichinna tattvam of the world? And Gargi gives answer to the first question to give a sample to Yajnavalkya, and later she asks further questions. And what does she say? Idam sarvam apsu votancha protancha. The whole physical universe is woven with the waters, made up of waters. That means the waters are the warp and woof of the physical creation. That means without water, this physical creation cannot exist. Based on the Vedantic Srishti principle, what is that? Tasmadvaye tasmada akashasambhutaha akashadvayuho vayoragnihi agnerapaha adhyaprithivi. So in the order when you see, jalam is the karanam out of which the prithivi has come, the earth has come. Therefore, water becomes the warp and woof of prithivi. Similarly, agni is warp and woof of water, agne rapaha. In short, karanam becomes the inner essence of the karyam. Therefore, sarvam, apsu, votancha, protancha are woven with waters, which means water is the inner essence, antara tattva. So having given this example, Gargi asks further, if water is the karanam, and therefore sukshmam, aparichinnam, and antara tattvam, then kasminnu kalu apaha protascha votascha. What is the inner essence of waters? Yajnavalkya gives the answer, vayau gargiti. It is actually an incomplete sentence. We have to complete it. Vayau apaha votascha protascha. That means vayu is the karanam, sukshmam, and aparichinnam, antaram vastu. And like that, Gargi goes on asking various questions, and Yajnavalkya goes on answering. So it is very easily can be followed when you look at the mantra. So antariksha lokeshu gargiti, gandharva lokeshu, aditya lokeshu, in all that, there is a word kasminnu. is question of Gargi. Kasminu refers to question of Gargi, and Gargiti, that is the answer of Yajnavalkya. So it is a series of dialogues between Gargi and Yajnavalkya. And what is the meaning of Gandharva Loka, Aditya Loka, Chandra Loka, and Nakshatra Loka? Acharya mentions each loka refers to Pancha Bhutas in different degrees of subtlety. Different degrees of subtlety. Basic matter only is in the next degree of subtlety. That's all it does. For example, I will take the random example of Chandra Loka and Nakshatra Loka. It is said Nakshatra Loka is inner essence of Chandra Loka. What is the meaning? Both lokas are made up of Panchabhutas only. So this Panchabhutas of Nakshatra Loka is subtler than Panchabhutas of Chandra Loka. Already I mentioned in one other occasion earlier, when you go to various lokas, your Sukshma Shariram becomes subtler and subtler. You will be able to see very nice, minute differences in things. You will be able to enjoy very minute experiences in life. So all those things, they are all reflected in the way the Sukshma Shariram becomes subtler and subtler because of the subtlety of them, because of the more agility of all of them. The various lokas, higher lokas, they give different experiences which are more enjoyable depending on one's karma phala. So it is something like molecules and atom or molecules and elements and all that things. And going on like this, Yajnavalkya and comes to the final subtlest matter, which is Brahma Loka. Brahma Lokeshu Gargiti. Brahma Lokeshu. We can take it according to modern science, some energy, particle, quark, whatever you want to call, or whatever it may be. But in scriptural language, Brahma Loka is the subtlest form of matter. Brahma Loka is the 14th or the highest loka. And therefore, it should be made up of the subtlest of all matters. Gargi does not leave even after that. She asks Yajnavalkya, she questions him again. Kasminu kalu brahma lokaha otascha protascha. Once we have come to the subtlest matter, there afterwards you cannot go further because the difference between the matter and mind, the difference between the matter and consciousness becomes hazier and hazier. You cannot differentiate at all. All problems faced in scientific field, they are not able to say as to whether some of them are living beings or inert matter. The difference becomes hazy between mind and matter or between matter and consciousness. This can never be studied because they are not available for objectification. Once you come to the consciousness principle, the study faces a setback because consciousness is not available for any instrument nor logic. And therefore, in logical field, analysis is over. We can say science has reached its pinnacle maximum. And if you go further, as someone says, physics will become metaphysics. Therefore, when Gargi questions, Yajnavalkya says, Ma ati prakshihi. Do not ask too many questions. Ma te murdha vyapathate. If you go on asking what will happen, murda, your head will fall off. Why? Because from Brahma Loka, the next grade is what? Hiranyagarbha Tattvam, Sutra Tattvam, which is the consciousness principle, mind principle, Samashti Manas Tattvam. And this Hiranyagarbha Tattvam is not available in the field of Pratyaksha and Anumana. And therefore, question is not allowed in this field. We will call it out of syllabus question. That's Swamiji calls it out of syllabus question. Not that we don't know the answer. We don't say we don't know. We say the question itself does not fall within the purview of logic and perception. If the question does not fall within the field of these two, how can anyone give an answer? It is like asking how many pounds is the distance between Princeton and Washington, D.C.? How many pounds is the distance? How many miles one should ask? But what they ask, how many pounds is the distance between Princeton and Washington, D.C.? How to answer this? Weight and distance belong to different fields. Similarly, do not ask about Hiranyagarbha in the field of logic and perception. And therefore, it is called Anati Prashnya Devata. అనతి ప్రశ్న్యా దేవత, వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ వర్డ్ ఇన్ ది మంత్ర, దట్ ఈస్ కిరణ్య గర్భ. ఏ దేవత హూ ఈస్ నాట్ అవైలబుల్ ఫార్ పర్సెప్షన్ అండ్ ఇన్ఫరెన్స్, బట్ వీ కెన్ ఆన్సర్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ప్రొవైడెడ్ వీ అలౌ అనదర్ థింగ్. వాట్ ఈస్ దాట్? ఆగమ ప్రమాణం ఆర్ వేదాంత ప్రమాణం. Then the question falls within syllabus, our syllabus. So we are not escaping the question or afraid of the question. We say yukti and anubhava alone is not sufficient. When shruti, yukti and anubhava are brought, then only the topic can be discussed. Without shruti, this question is out of syllabus. So anati prashnyam devatam indicates Hiranyagarbha devata. సూత్ర దేవత అండ్ యాజ్ఞవల్కి అసేస్ అతి పృచ్చసి గార్గి, యు ఆర్ ఓవర్ షూటింగ్, అతి పృచ్చసి, యు ఆర్ ఆస్కింగ్ టూ మచ్, గోయింగ్ బియాండ్ ద లిమిట్, అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ మా అతి ప్రాక్షీ, డూ నాట్ ఆస్క్ టూ మచ్, ఇఫ్ యు ఆస్క్ వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపన్, యువర్ హెడ్ విల్ ఫాల్. ఇట్స్ ఫాల్ మీన్స్ ఫిగరేటివ్లీ ఆల్సో, ఇట్ విల్ ఫాల్ ద సెన్స్ యూ మే బ్రేక్ యువర్ హెడ్. వీన్ ఆల్ మెనీ టైమ్స్ వీ సే, యూనో ఐ వెంట్ ఆన్ థింకింగ్, అనలైజింగ్ సో మచ్, మై హెడ్ రియలీ బ్రోక్, ఆల్ దట్ వీ సే. యూ మే గో ఆన్ థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ బట్ యూ కెనాట్ సాల్వ్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ సైంటిస్ట్ లైక్ గార్గి, దే ఆర్ బ్రేకింగ్ దర్ హెడ్స్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ ద ఫండమెంటల్ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్. దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు సాల్వ్ ఇట్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ ఓన్లీ విదిన్ ద ఫీల్డ్ ఆఫ్ pratyaksha and anumana. In the absence of shastra pramana, they will not succeed and they are breaking their head. This is what Yajnavalkya says. Murdha te vyapattate. Once this was said, tatoha gargi vachaknavi upara rama. Gargi withdrew, so we can take it as withdrew temporarily, because we already told she is going to come back in two Brahmanas. However, she is going to take a break now, come back again. Perhaps she must have spent some time by herself, and later she herself understands that Sutra, the Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara, Aksharam, Nirguna Brahma, all that perhaps she might have understood. All three cannot be understood by logic. She might have understood that at least. And one should accept the Veda Pramana. So Sutra, Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara, Aksharam Brahma, they all cannot be understood. So accepting the Veda Pramana, she comes once again in the 8th Brahmana. She again asks the question, Yajnavalkya, with the help of Shruti Pramanam, teaches the Aksharam Brahma. So that Brahmanam is like a continuation of this, which is the very Antaraha. So Sarvantaraha is that, which is Asutram, Ananu, Akhraswam, Adirgam. So this is all various things in various places all said. So Asthulam, Ananu, Akhraswam, Adirgam. The beautiful teaching comes there in the 8th Brahmana. So temporarily, Gargi goes away. With this, the 6th Brahmana is over. We are in the Sarvantaraha journey. It is not done yet so far. We have crossed the matter principle only thus far in this Brahmanam. Then we have to go to Sutra, then to Antaryami, and then finally to Akshara Brahma. This is all going to be our journey in this Gargi Brahmanam. From this subsequent analysis, we are going to do also in the next few Brahmanas. Yo Veda Dau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwara Sri Krishna.